Hey, everybody, welcome in. I am so glad that you're with us today. As always, we have a great show lined up for you. Every Tuesday, it's time for Speak Up, and my name is Barbara. You know, we've been doing a series of programs to help you continue to safeguard your health and be inspired to meet your healthy body and mind goals. So you can explore our archived recordings of previous programs at NorthIdahoRadio.com. And so here today, we are with Dr. Thomas Fletcher. He is a medical doctor. He's retired now, but what he is serving in now, he is the board chair of Panhandle Health District 1, and that's what we're going to focus on today. His work there, his goals there, and all for our good health. We have a lot of good information coming your way, so keep it right here as we take our first break.
Only in a boat. It's the 71st annual Spokane Boat Show.
It's back. 4 big days, multiple boat dealerships, all in one place. Shop and compare, all in one place. One place that's heated and family friendly.
The boats are back, and you'll see the latest makes and models. See heavy gauge fishing boats, pontoon party barges, performance wakeboard and ski boats, personal watercraft, canoes and kayaks, plus accessories, docks, and performance boat parts. The Spokane Boat Show is family fun. 4 days only, January 30th through February 2nd. Find the hours at SpokaneBoatShow.com. It's easy to compare all at one site with major boat show price reductions from the manufacturers and local dealers. Enjoy free parking at the Spokane Fair and Expo Center. It starts Thursday, January 30th, 4 days only, the Spokane Boat Show, sponsored by the Spokane Yacht Club.
Hi, this is Chad from the Easy Home Buyer, and I pay cash for houses. Call me today at 208-877-6000. I buy houses in any price range and any location in the Spokane and Coeur d'Alene area and can get you your cash in as little as 1 week. Do you own a house that is vacant, in foreclosure, or needs thousands of dollars in repairs? Sell to us as is. You won't have to make any repairs, and there are no commissions, no fees, and we pay all the closing costs for you. Do you have a tenant living in your property? Not a problem. We buy houses with tenants in them all the time. Do you think your property will be difficult to sell? Easy. We provide assistance for any situation. We understand that life throws us curveballs, and we would love to see how we can help you. If you want to sell your house fast at a fair price, call me today at 208-877-6000. That's 208-877-6000.
Pick up the phone to inquire. Call the Easy Home Buyer.
Ritz Transmission and Performance in Bonners Ferry, now offering new services. Transmission repair to manual and automatic, U-joints, clutches, differentials, custom upgrades, transfer cases, and transmission services. Call for an appointment or just stop in. Your go-to mechanic in Bonners Ferry for everything from oil changes to transmission repair. Get a free diagnostic at Ritz Transmission and Performance, 6878 Main Street in Bonners Ferry.
While retinitis pigmentosa takes Mark's vision, his family gives him hope, whether at the family business or at home with his wife and sons. He knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, providing hope to people with vision loss. And for Mark, winning the fight means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
KSPT KBFI.
Welcome back in. I'm so glad you're with us. Say hello to Dr. Thomas Fletcher. Dr. Thomas, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, absolutely. It's my honor.
You know, I think that we have some listeners today who may not know you. And so I'd like you to be the one to introduce yourself to our listeners, a little bit about your background, your training, and your medical practice.
Well, sure. You know, I suppose if you were to summarize who I am most succinctly, it would be to say that I am a recovering allopathic physician.
Oh.
Now let me attempt to explain what that means. So imagine, if you will, that you have certain qualities. And some of those qualities you would put on a piece of paper to apply for a job, or put on a piece of paper for a resume, you know, to impress people. But on the other hand, you have qualities for which you might want to be remembered, qualities that maybe your best friend would talk about at your eulogy or would appear on your tombstone. So we have a eulogy qualities and we have resume qualities. So let me unpack that first statement. I'm a recovering allopathic physician.
What's allopathic mean for our audience?
There you go.
There
so
we go.
Allopathic means that I went to an establishment medical school back in the day when you actually had to make A's in organic chemistry and calculus to get into medical school. It was competitive, and you had to be an A student. And then I went to medical school, and I continued to be an A student, graduating with top honors. Now, went on to have a career both in surgery and in what is called interventional radiology, which is a branch of radiology which engages in minimally invasive surgeries. Most of my life I spent in a level one trauma center. And I guess I practiced medicine for a little over 40 years. But you see, all of those attributes are really, if you will, resume attributes. What I really want to be known for is a recovering physician. Now, what do I mean by that cryptic comment, recovering? Well, for much of my life, I had some questions about the medical enterprise. Both of my parents, by the way, were physicians, and my father was particularly philosophical, and we engaged in a number of deeper conversations as to the medical enterprise. He was an oncologist. My mother, by the way, was a pediatric ophthalmologist. And we would go back and forth as to what medicine meant, and it took me until much later in my life to understand the wisdom of my father. And it is the wisdom that he attempted to teach me, and I guess in the long run succeeded. Well, he and COVID succeeded in making me appreciate that the enterprise of medicine is more than what it would appear. So for decades and decades, I believed that I was doing the best for the patients. Okay? I wouldn't say that I was overtly dishonest, but I was certainly deluded. I was not really aware of the deeper implications of what was going on. My wife and I decided to move up here. We actually looked at all kinds of places. We lived in Austin, Texas for 35 years. We moved up here really because we wanted to find a place in the United States that was, if you will, culturally retro. In other words, we wanted to go back to a period of time in American history, circa
1950.
Yeah. Exactly. You got it. You got it. And we found it. We love it up here. We absolutely love it.
So what's allopathy? Give me a quick definition. Our audience is
out. Medicine.
Okay. So you are no longer feeling that you're an established, you are an established medical doctor, retired, but you've moved on to a bigger awareness, a bigger kind of serving.
Yes.
The clients, the patients, the citizens of District 1 Panhandle Health.
Correct.
Okay, so I heard you say something really interesting, and that was that COVID was a turning point for you.
Absolutely.
So I think COVID, boy, do I admire that, because I think COVID was a turning point in so many different ways for so many different people. So break it down for our audience, if you can, if you will, for what was it about the whole COVID scamdemic, I'm going to call it, but they called it a pandemic, that really changed things for you.
There were three data points that became manifestly clear by, certainly by March 2020. Okay, so January, February, March. Here are the three data points. Here they are. We had several boats. The most notable was the Diamond Princess, which was a one of these cruise liners that had roughly 3,000 elderly individuals on a cruise ship, and was parked outside of Tokyo. And you can imagine the people that are on cruise ships, you know, they don't exercise. They're not on a hiking trip.
Exactly.
So they're probably a little bit overweight.
Yeah, tired.
They might be pre-diabetic or diabetic. They probably drink in the evenings. They're probably older. You get the demographic here. And I'm not trying to make little of them, but imagine that we're not talking about an Olympic team here. Though we'll get to that in just a second, because the USS Roosevelt will be that case study.
Okay.
So, the Diamond Princess had 3,000 people. As soon as COVID became evident on the ship, there was total shutdown quarantine. Everyone was kept in their rooms. Okay, notwithstanding, if you will, maximum quarantine, maximum distancing, approximately 700 of those 3,000 people came down with COVID. Of those 700, many of them caught COVID while quarantined in their little room, their little cubicle. They were well beyond 6 feet away. Okay? In fact, the only way they could have gotten COVID was through the HVAC system, the air circulation. Okay? So we knew right off the bat that you get that viral upper respiratory tract infection aerosolized. We're talking about little particles that are floating much beyond 6 feet. We know this.
As opposed to food or water.
To surfaces, hands, food, water, hands, all
eyes,
that's baloney.
All of that.
Total baloney.
Airborne.
It's airborne. We know this with absolute certainty.
Okay.
Number two, 700 people got infected,
right.
Not 3,000 people.
Right.
Well, what about the other 2,300 people? They did just fine. Wait a second. This is not getting everybody. Of the 700 who got it, 20 were hospitalized.
Wow.
Of the 20 that were hospitalized, 6 died. Okay. So we're talking about an infection fatality rate.
That's lower than the flu.
Yes, ma'am.
It's lower than
Yes, ma'am.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
And
we knew this, and we had a perfect epidemiological experiment. A cruise ship that was played out with two other boats, the USS Roosevelt, which was a aircraft carrier, and the Charles de Gaulle, which was a French aircraft carrier. In both of those instances, we're talking about a younger population, a fit population, sailors. And in the case of the Roosevelt, it was over 5,000 crewmen. One died. He was a 42-year-old, full-on diabetic.
So
he had comorbidities.
Extreme chronic.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
data point number two. You know, you can ask me a question,
well, yeah,
though.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, so we knew this in March of 2020, this truth about this virus was being revealed. So walk us through, take us through how it got conflated and inflated. Who did that? Was it just the whole medical situation or just these people I mean, I know what I think, but I want you to tell me what you saw happening that it just got, I mean, for 3 years, it was just like...
Well, it was obvious to me by March of 2020 that there were two flavors of COVID. There was biological COVID and there was political COVID.
Yes.
And they had nothing to do with one another.
Exactly.
And I could give you other data points that underscore that. But right. We can use the Diamond Princess as one.
Right.
So we establish that there's biological COVID, which has something to do with reality. And there's political COVID that is just another beast. Now, my inclination was that we were now in the primary season. We had an up-and-coming election, and it was pretty obvious, or I supposed, that the Democrat Party wanted to hang COVID on Trump the way Hurricane Katrina was hung on Bush. COVID was going to be Trump's Katrina. You follow what I'm saying? They're going to make him look bad.
Right.
And so with that thought in mind, everything that I saw take place after that, flatten the curve, shut down the economy for 2 weeks. This was a setup.
Yeah.
It was every bit a setup.
It just kept rolling.
Oh,
closed schools, closed churches.
Oh, all of it.
But you could leave bars and Home Depot open. But you
Absolutely. But now, caused me great shame was that my tribe,
the medical people,
bought into it.
Yeah. Why did they buy into it? My doctor, I love my doctor.
I have pondered that question. I've even written essays. When I write, it helps me to sort of formulate my thinking. I think it's multifactorial, okay? The more generous interpretation is that modern medical training stresses teamwork, stresses following algorithms, stresses best of practice, stresses formulaic medicine, as opposed to a classical medical education, which would have taught the physician basic fundamental science, biological science, and then you go out and you sort of figure it out. You think for yourself. The distinction is one of a style of practitioner, and this would be true not only for medicine, this would be true for any profession. One style where you are capable of your own critical thoughts versus follow the herd. Just do what everyone else is doing. So modern medicine has turned into groupthink.
Yes.
It's just turned into do what you're told.
Right. I think a lot of doctors were complicit in the program to be, I don't know, anti-Trump and take control and all that. But I think also a lot of doctors were deluded and were snookered. What's a better word than that?
Brainwashed
by the media, by the money flowing in. If they did this and this, they could get money. By other colleagues condemning them.
Intimidation
that
sure.
they would
Peer
lose
pressure.
They would lose their medical license if mm-hmm. they prescribed ivermectin. I mean, this is powerful. That this is their work. This is their so they were corralled into it. Some of them knowing what was going on, and others just, you know, they just kind of gave up. Do you think that's pretty true?
Yeah, I think what you've said is accurate. It's multifactorial. It may not have been the same motive for each and every physician.
Exactly.
It one or more of all of the factors that you describe, I think, are operational. Where I will draw the line is if you have a physician now who holds to the dogma.
Oh yeah.
Then we have a binary. They're either stupid or cruel and evil.
Yeah.
But they can't They can't play dumb anymore. They can't say, well, you know, I was just trying to get along with everyone. Well, it was peer pressure. I'm sorry.
The best.
I'm sorry. There's way too much information now. And then I'm going to take this Christian notion one step further. Okay. It is possible that you can be redeemed, but you have to commit to contrition. Yeah. You have to say, "I did wrong, Lord."
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And until you apologize, the simple act of apologize, I don't think there's redemption.
I think it'd go a long way for some of our doctors across America, but even here, to put a letter to the editor and just kind of openly say, you know, I didn't get this whole COVID thing right. I went along with the program. I went along with insurance and the media and the lies. And it was wrong. We are up against a break. Can you believe that? Time's flying. So we're going to take that break right now.
The Hydra on 2nd and Lake is Sandpoint's original steakhouse. Stop in today for lunch or dinner.
Mondays are local appreciation all day from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. 15% off your bill with an Idaho driver's license. No exclusions, even on fillets and crab legs. Proudly serving Idaho-raised and processed USDA choice beef and everything fried in Snake River Farms beef tallow.
Come on back to the Hydra for lunch or dinner today. The Hydra, 2nd and Lake in Sandpoint.
We all know just because gifts for loved ones can look like flowers, a spa day, or maybe even planning date night. But what about something that will truly last and protect your loved ones along the way? I'm talking about life insurance. I called SelectQuote to secure our coverage and couldn't believe how easy and affordable it was. I'm 40, and my $500,000 policy was only $16 a month. My husband's also 40, and his $500,000 policy was only $18 a month. And with their same-day coverage, there was no medical exam required, and we were covered by the time we hung up. With monthly payments less than the cost of a bouquet of flowers, this is the perfect time to make sure your family is protected.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-596-2626 or go to selectquote.com to get your free quote today. That's 1-800-596-2626. 1-800-596-2626.
Details on example rate at selectquote.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time and switch to the expensive shampoo with amino acids. Sure, you don't know what those are or why you need them, but it sounds very impressive. And if you switch and save hundreds, you can massage it into your scalp every day. Now, if only you can get people to lean toward your head to smell those aminos. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For shampoo. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Milo's Rewards Week is coming, and it's kind of a big deal. Members, get ready for 7 days of up to 40% off store-wide on hundreds of items. Save on the top brands in bath, tools, paint, and more. Our biggest member deals are on January 30th through February 5th. So if you're not a loyalty member, now's the time to join for free. Lowe's knows home improvement. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Here at Boot Barn, our objective is to build the perfect boot. We do take our time ensuring that every step is done correctly. For a boot to last you for a lifetime, you've got to properly build the boots. Hand craftsmanship is, in my opinion, the only way you're going to achieve that. We handcraft our boots. 160 people take a boot from start to finish. We have skilled artisans at every stage of the game. We've been handcrafting boots since the beginning here at Boot Barn, and we'll continue to do so.
News Talk 97.1, KSBT, KBFI.
Welcome in. My name is Barbara, and my guest today is Dr. Thomas Fletcher. He is the board chair with Panhandle Health, and I hope you heard the first segment, because he was really setting up this life change, this sea change in his thinking as a medical doctor because of COVID. And so now he's bringing a really different approach to his role in healthcare as board chair at Panhandle Health District. So talk to our audience, Doctor, about how your thinking has changed and how that informs what you as board chair would like to see happen in our Panhandle Health District.
Fair enough. I think a great deal of appreciation and gratitude goes to the previous Board of Commissioners, not the current board. I was appointed 3 years ago, and we had a different constellation of commissioners. Appreciation must go to them because they are the ones who choose the Panhandle board members. I don't choose myself. It's not an elected position. It is an appointed position by the Board of Commissioners. Okay. Now, of course, the commissioners are elected by the citizenry. So I'm one step removed from the citizenry.
Got it.
Now, that's important to say because when a position came open in the Panhandle Health Board, this was in the very middle of all the COVID chaos, and I was a known contrarian. And I knew all of the commissioners, and they knew I was a contrarian, and they wanted to appoint someone on the board who was going to, shall we say, challenge the orthodoxy. Mm-hmm. So I got onto the board. Now, what I encountered was full-on censorship. I was in a minority position as a contrarian, and frankly, I had attempted to make some presentations, and the then chairman of the board and the then director of Panhandle Health shut me down, full-on censorship. So I have experienced that firsthand. Mm. It's an uncomfortable position when you are rendered speechless. Okay. Time moves on. Other board members rotate, and a great deal of credit needs to go to the Board of Commissioners in Kootenai County because they placed onto the board fellow contrarians, okay, until we finally had enough reality-based board members that now the direction of Panhandle Health could change. And that occurred this last year, and that's when I assumed chairmanship of the board. Now, what do I envision as a way to move forward? Well, let me start off by saying I am not an expert in public health. I spent my entire life in private health. I never even gave a whole lot of thought to public health. It was sort of in the background. I thought, well, you know, water treatment plants, you know, I don't know, septic systems. I just sort of, I don't know, treatment of sexually transmitted diseases. I mean, it was just an arena, vaccinations. It was just an arena of medicine that was, I just didn't give it much thought. I assumed, yeah, those guys do a pretty good job, and that's their world, and I've got my world. But then COVID hit, and then you realize, whoa, public health matters. And so I got involved.
Public policy.
Well, public policy. Health. Yeah, well, we're going to come to policy in just a moment.
Okay.
Absolutely. Public health translates into public policy. They are related. In fact, let's talk about what do we mean by public health, especially in contradistinction to private health. So if you go back, Let me burden your audience with a very short history here. Humans have lived in cities of sorts, urban congregations, for 8 to 10,000 years. Only until about 4,000 years ago with the Bronze Age did we see for the first time in human history development of public water works. That is to say, we channeled clean water in one place and we exited dirty water in another place. So we separated water because when they mix, it gets ugly.
People die.
People die. They get cholera. They get
people
salmonella.
Die.
It's not good. So that's really the Bronze Age, which is about 4000 BC, is the beginning of public health. And for the most part, the very essence of public health until the 20th century, literally the current era, that was public health. Clean the streets, management of the commons, make sure that the soil is clean, the water is clean, the air is clean, management of the resources that everyone enjoys, the parks, the waterways. Okay. Now the 20th century comes along. Several things happen in the 20th century. One is we go from roughly 1 billion people to 8 billion people. That's a huge increase.
Did we get to the plague yet? I don't know. Are we?
Are we what?
Are we? Did we pass through the plague era?
Oh yeah, sure. The plague, you know, black plague.
Those things would, multiple plagues. Yeah, those things would happen.
Oh, of course.
Bring us up to date, though. We're gonna get short here.
Okay.
Get us up into Bonner Panhandle Health District.
Well,
2025.
We are. I'm 1 minute from there. I had to set the stage.
Okie dokie.
I ask you to please bear with me.
I will. Here we go.
So we hit to the 20th century. Now, for the first time, the enterprise of public health expands its portfolio. And what does it get involved in? It gets involved in reproduction, management of fertility, Margaret Sanger, contraceptions, abortions, family planning, all of that came on strong. The other thing it got involved in was what do you eat? Upton Sinclair, the creation of the FDA, the USDA. So now, for the first time in human history, we're not talking about management of water and soil. We're talking about management of individuals' lives, private medicine. For the government to now get involved in management of fertility is a game changer. That's real different. So now how do I imagine moving forward with Panhandle Health? What I want people to think about is this differentiation between public health and private health in a historical context. And moving forward, what do we as a citizenry want from our public health institution? Do we want public health to manage the commons, or do we want public health to continue moving forward in the management of affairs that are more private? And that's where public health got into a problem with policy. You follow what I'm saying?
I am totally following, and I know what my answer is. I want them to keep my water clean, keep the septic systems working, clean up these, but I don't want them telling me, that group to tell me what to eat. I want my private doctor to talk to me, and I don't want him influenced by the politicos. Bingo. I want the straight up answer from my doc. Eat this. Here's a medicine that we can talk about together.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
I want you guys out of my healthcare.
Thank you. Amen. That is Thomas Fletcher's vision of moving forward with Panhandle Health.
Can I say a strong hallelujah?
Well, now, I can't do this alone.
No.
Remember, I gave significant credit to the commissioners. So fundamentally, the charge of what public health, Panhandle Health, will do in the near future, far future, intermediate future, will be a function of what directives come from the commissioners. So if you have citizens that believe the way you do, then the smartest thing you can do is contact your commissioners and tell them that it is your desire that Panhandle Health stick to the portfolio of public health and get out of the business of private health.
So these commissioners are the ones that are elected, right?
Yes.
And when is the next election for commissioners for Panhandle Health District 1?
No. Well, we're board members. No. Commissioners are your county commissioners.
Oh, the county commissioners.
I'm talking county commissioners.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get to.
Panhandle Health consists of a board. The board members are appointed by the
county commissioners. So it's our county commissioners that we need to talk to.
Correct.
About how we want them to be supervising and influencing and appointing our board, Panhandle Health Board.
Bingo.
So, I can't believe our county commissioners don't think that. What about the legislature? Let me get that question in because I was curious about that.
Okay, that's a great question.
What's their role?
That is a great question. So,
hold that answer. We're up against a break. We're going to take that break right now. When we come back, you're going to talk to us about that connection with the Idaho State Legislature. Awesome. We'll be right back.
Sun Rental Center has been consistently reliable since 1979. Whether you're a large contractor or a homeowner with an important project, Sun Rental Center is your number one call for equipment rental and services. They go the extra mile, offering hourly, daily, weekly, monthly, and longer rental options with industry standard products from John Deere, Doosan, Genie, JLG, Multiquip, Ditch Witch, Makita, Honda, Steel, and more. Sun Rental Center is open in Sandpoint Monday through Saturday from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Start the new year off right by visiting Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items that you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade. Open weekdays and located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
Let Thick and Thin Beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel, or desktop. There's something special and satisfying about building your home using local wood. Its beauty and strength are hard to beat. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive pricing, come see the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out the website, tntbeams.com.
One in four Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at easterseals.com.
Lowe's knows how to help you save time and money, no matter the job. That's why we can deliver supplies to your job site as soon as same day, so you have more time to get the job done. Because when you need it fast, we've got you covered. Lowe's knows pros. Valid on eligible in-stock orders and select zip codes placed by 2 p.m. for same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Subject to driver availability. Fees vary based on purchase. More terms apply. See Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery for details.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town, with a picture window overlooking a yard. And you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats too. Your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. We are talking today with Dr. Thomas Fletcher. We've got it going on for you. I'm going to have the doc back because we have got so many more things that we want to cover. But before we took our break, Dr. Fletcher, I was asking you, so the Bonner County Commissioners are your bosses, so to speak, you that are on the board, the board of directors for Panhandle Health. What about the legislature? What is it, how does the legislature influence you and the work that you want to get done?
Only through monetary distributions. That is to say, there's no administrative link between either the legislative branch in Boise or for that matter, the executive branch. So when the public health districts were created with legislation in 1971, in the very first paragraph of that legislation, it is stipulated that the seven health districts are to operate independently of the executive branch, the Department of Health and Welfare in Boise. We have sovereignty. Now, the sovereignty with the legislature goes only so far as the kitty, the budget, how much money they give you. If you do things that the legislature doesn't want, it can just cut off your funds.
Can different panhandle health districts in Idaho, if is each one independent
yes.
of each other?
Yes.
Like District 2 may come up with a different plan or a different mandate
Correct.
Than District 1.
Correct.
So you're really, your point of control or the point of control for each district is that district's board county commissioners.
Correct.
Can you do that?
And I have in mind exercising our sovereignty.
Yes.
Now, we don't have enough time to talk about how
I'm going to have you back.
But there is a plan for Panhandle Health to exercise its sovereignty, and we're going to move forward.
And how might that look? Give us one example. If you had your way, how that might look for us here in District 1.
I'll give you one example. Public service announcements. So heretofore, PSAs are essentially generated in Washington, D.C. by the CDC. And then from the CDC, it is spread out to all 1,100 health districts across the United States. For that matter, it may even be the World Health Organization talks about viruses of concern. And indeed, as you'll recall, it was the World Health Organization that declared the COVID a pandemic. That was a PSA writ large. That was at the highest level globally. Okay? Well, moving forward, Health District 1 is going to take control of PSAs. We will listen to what the World Health Organization has to say as it purports to Ebola virus or monkeypox or, I don't know, some kind of an outbreak of some kind somewhere. We will listen to what the CDC says. But moving forward, we have embedded it into the bylaws of Panhandle Health District that the board will take ultimate responsibility on the content of the PSAs, of the public service announcements. So if there's, I don't know, three cases of listeria in Kootenai County, we will make the determination as to whether that is a relevant comment or not.
All right, excellent.
That's one example.
That's a good example also. What's another area where you see Panhandle Health District needs to be more independent from the media, from... Media is what's coming to my mind. These stories that get out there that are just
well, the PSAs
not true.
Are in effect our version of filtering.
Media.
I mean, the media is exploiting fear.
Yes.
To manipulate people's emotions, and then through fear and a heightened state, then you have control.
Yes.
Whoa! Let's calm down. Take in a deep breath. Let's have a yoga breath here.
Yeah.
The sky is not falling. Bird flu is not a threat to humanity.
Exactly.
So that's how we're going to interface with the media.
That is excellent. So what's another area, Dr. Fletcher, that you see the Panhandle Health District 1 moving forward independently to protect our health?
Okay. So this is just me talking.
Okay.
I do not have the authorization of the commissioners, the 15 commissioners. Remember, we service five counties, each county, three commissioners. That's 15 commissioners. So I am not speaking on behalf of the commissioners, nor am I speaking on behalf of the other six board members.
Yes.
So what's going to come out of my mouth in the next couple of minutes is just Thomas Fletcher.
Okay, got
it. I'd like to see us move in the direction of monitoring our environment. So what do I mean by that? We see all of these white linear streaks in the sky. What is that stuff? And whatever that stuff is, does it fall down on the ground? And can we measure a change in the content of the soil and the water as a function of how much of these trails of white stuff up in the air? That would be a form of monitoring. Another form of monitoring, you go to the store and you pay 2x or 3x more for organic food. Organic food is not supposed to have pesticides. Wouldn't you like to know if in fact that beautiful looking romaine lettuce in fact has glyphosate on it?
Exactly.
Wouldn't you like to know that?
Have you heard the ads recently? There's, I don't know where they're coming from, outside of Idaho, I don't know. There are ads all over the radio about glyphosate being necessary for agriculture in Idaho. Lobby your legislature that it doesn't get banned. You're going to pay more. It's like the sky is falling. You're going to pay more at the supermarket if we can't use glyphosate. Then, I don't know, all heck is going to break loose in agriculture.
So I talked about
public health, private health, okay? It's not
so
on my
So I
food.
Would not necessarily, well, first of all, Panhandle Health cannot, doesn't even have the authority to enforce whether a food product has glyphosate on it. We don't even remotely have that authority.
Right.
Moreover, as one who wants to focus on public health, not private health, I would see it as my task to simply monitor the environment, which would include the food you're eating, tell you what's in it, and then let you make a decision.
I like that even better.
I'm not going to tell you don't eat glyphosate. May be the best thing since sliced bread.
Or tell agriculture they can't. Not that you could, but lobby the legislature to ban it. Go ahead if they want to use it. I just want to know if it's on the food I'm buying.
Bingo.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
I like both of those. Carry on.
Well, it would be more of the same. You could monitor all kinds of things in your environment. The water. I mean, we have these forever chemicals, the perfluoroacyl substances. How many of these compounds do we have in our water? Are there distributions of these compounds? Areas where you want to make sure you don't swim or don't come into the contact with that water. Other areas where the water is better. Again, we're talking about monitoring.
Right. And then informing the public is what we're finding out so we can make decisions or influence our commissioners or influence the legislature, if that's a possibility. You know, this is going to be 45 seconds. This is a short answer. Short answer. Do you see the Panhandle Health District having a role in controlling how this influence of insurance companies that are making medical decisions and not my doctor? They're saying, no, Barbara, you can't have a DEXA this year because it hasn't been 3 years or whatever.
No influence whatsoever. Two different arenas.
Yeah.
Remember I talked about private health, public health?
Exactly.
You're talking about private health insurance.
Insurance.
It's a different arena.
Exactly. So that just, nothing you can do about
that. I can sympathize
that.
With you.
Right.
I can commiserate with you.
Yeah.
But we have no influence whatsoever.
Yeah. Good answer, because that was one of the questions I wanted, because it is a concern where you, even your doctor would say, I'd really like to do this, but you know, your insurance won't cover it. This is what it will cost you. And you know
We could have another hour discussion just on medical insurance.
We could have a two-hour discussion. All right, listen, this has been wonderful. I promise my audience that I will have you back. Everybody, that's the program for today. Come on back next Tuesday. I'm going to be talking with Mayor Jeremy Grimm and Jason Welker. We're going to be talking talking about City Beach parking and the hotel condo thing that's going in there. We're also going to be talking about water issues, Dr. Fletcher. So don't miss that program. Until then, everybody, this is Barbara saying, please take care, slow down, love each other, and may God richly bless you.